Matthew 1, 1 through 17. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Esron, and Esron begot Ram. Ram begot Aminadab, and Aminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz and by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her, who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Amon. Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begot Abiud, Abiud begot Eliakim, Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok, Zadok begot Akim, Akim begot Eliud, Eliud begot Eleazar, Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. If I were to write the biography of a great leader, I would never begin with an account of his genealogy, that is, listing his ancestors. At the most, I would mention the parents' names only. Some authors would even venture to quote ancestors, but only as a footnote or an appendix. Matthew didn't think so. He understood that it was necessary to reveal the credentials of the messiahship and kingship of Jesus Christ. The messianic credentials were important because, on one hand, it would have been that an impostor would have claimed to be the Christ. On the other hand, some among the Jews, especially the Pharisees, accused Jesus of having a shameful background. They claimed that based on his family into which he was born, he was not who he claimed to be. They identified him as the carpenter's son and alleged to know his father, mother, brothers, and sisters. For instance, Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 through 56, shows how the Jews questioned Jesus' credentials as the Messiah. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And John, so end of quotation of Matthew 13. So John also registered in his gospel one of the moments the Jews questioned Jesus' credentials as the Messiah by saying that they knew his origin, which would have compromised his identity and authority as the Messiah. Well, John wrote, "However, who knows where this man is from? But when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from." This is in John 7, 27. In verses 41 through 42 of John 7, also say, "Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee?" Do you remember Nathanael saying, "Can something good come from Nazareth?" He said, so, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not Scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? John 7, 41, 42. And sometimes Jesus' rivals even suggest the shameful origin of Jesus. They said, "We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God." This is in John 8:41. In other words, they said, "We are not bastards." It is this, brothers and sisters, this is the same as to say, "We were not born of fornication as you." With respect to our Father, there is no justifiable doubt. But as for you, the case is different. I'm just paraphrasing what they said. But they were accusing Jesus of having a shameful background. The Jews commonly both denied that Jesus was part of David's lineage, but also raised suspicions about the legitimacy of his birth. Therefore, this genealogy is important because by using it, Matthew demonstrates that Jesus is a genuine descendant of David, according to his human nature, fulfilling the prophecy. Jesus had a legal right to the throne via his legal father, Joseph, who was of the lineage of David, of flesh and blood, through his mother, Mary, who was also of the lineage of David. We say that Mary also descends from David because many passages such as Luke 1:32, 69, Acts 2:30, Romans 1, verse 3, 2 Timothy 2:8, and Revelation 5:5, those passages make it sure that Jesus is the son of David. Anyway, the fact that Joseph was son of David and the legal father of Jesus Christ is enough. Matthew, therefore, presents more than one genealogical lineage. He not only posted a list of names, but structured them based on criteria and goals that were very secret in his mind. For this reason, what could have been a boring list of names, but then it became an important introduction to the gospel. Matthew had abundance of sources at that time. 1 Chronicles chapters 2 and 3, Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 through 21. And today, that kind of work wouldn't be possible after repeated persecutions against the Jews. There is another genealogy of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 3. There are some differences between this genealogy here, Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 3. Luke went to Adam, while Matthew went to Abraham. The reason is that Matthew intended to present Jesus as the fulfillment of the promises to the covenant people. And in Luke, the names are different, especially after David. In the Gospel of Matthew, Solomon is mentioned as a descendant of David. In Luke, Nathan is mentioned. So we see a couple of differences. There is no problem at all about this. The explanation is that Luke was concerned with blood descent, and Matthew was concerned with royal lineage or successors to the throne, because Matthew's goal was to present Jesus Christ as the king, the son of God, but the king of Israel. I now highlight three characteristics that make this genealogy a wonderful account that points to Jesus rather than a simple list of ancestors. It is divided in three parts: Abraham to David, David to the exile, and from exile to Christ. It is divided in three series of 14, and there are four women mentioned in this genealogy. It was absolutely unusual in genealogies at that time. However, my exposition will follow a trifold division. Who is this? Second, he is Jesus Christ. And third, he is mighty to save. First, who is this? This question was repeated several times in the New Testament. When Jesus Christ cleansed the temple, in John 2:13 through 22, the Jews spoke to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? This is in John 2, verse 18. In other words, they were asking, who is this? In Matthew 8, 27, when Jesus rebuked the wind and in the midst of storm, his disciples asked, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. In Luke 7, 36 through 50, a sinful woman anointed Jesus' feet with a fragrant oil. And when Jesus told her, your sins are forgiven, those who sat with him at the table said to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? According to Matthew 21, when Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem, people greeted him, spreading their clothes and branches of trees on the road, crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, they said. Then verse 10 says, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Who is this? Matthew begins his gospel with the words, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The word genealogy is a translation of the Greek word genesius, from where we have the English word Genesis. The Old Testament starts with the book of Genesis. And curiously, the New Testament also starts with the book of Genesis, but the Genesis of Jesus Christ. This is the perfect beginning for the New Testament. This is the perfect beginning, a new beginning for the New Testament. This new book of Genesis, however, is different. It's different because he won't focus on the work of creation, but redemption of what was created good, but fell into sin. Mainly mankind created in God's image. This new great session of the Bible starts with a sum of Jesus Christ's identity. If we ask, who is this? The answer clearly appears in verse 1. He is the son of David. He is the son of Abraham. He is the Christ. When Matthew wrote that Jesus is the son of David, he was affirming his royal character. 2 Samuel 7, 1 through 17 tells us that David said to Nathan, the prophet, see, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent. Curtains. Verse 2. Then God used Nathan to answer David by saying, would you build a house for me to dwell in? David had not understood that God cannot dwell in houses built by human hands. Therefore, David wouldn't build a house for the Lord, though he had a whole intention to do that, but the Lord would build a house for David. As Nathan told him, also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. The Lord would make David a house. This house the Lord promised to David was an eternal offspring. As God explained in verses 12 and 13, I'm reading 2 Samuel 7, 12 and 13 now. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. His kingdom. A special person in David's seed, Jesus Christ. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. As in Genesis 3:15, when the woman's seed is mentioned as an individual, David's seed is also mentioned as a special individual who would hold the kingdom. He, not David, would build a house for the name of the Lord, and his throne would be eternal, established forever. This house is Jesus Christ, whose body was destroyed when he was crucified, but was rebuilt in only 3 days when he's resurrected from the dead. He is the promised son of David, in whom all things converge. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He also is the son of Abraham, because God promised him, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 12, verse 3. The Gospel of Matthew ends with Jesus bringing a blessing for all nations, for he commanded the apostles to make disciples of all nations. In Jesus Christ, all nations were blessed. God previously announced Christ's suffering to Abraham. In Genesis 15, when God promised to Abraham that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars, verse 5, he commanded Abraham to prepare a ceremony to cut a covenant. At that time, they used to cut an animal in half and pass a torch between the halves, saying, "May happen to me what happened to the animal if I break the covenant." Abraham's problem is that the covenant had already been broken since Adam. He couldn't have said anything or even passed the torch between the halves. Thus, God caused him to sleep deeply, and God alone passed the torch between the halves. The Lord was saying, in other words, "I will suffer alone the cost for the transgression of the covenant." In this way, Jesus blessed all the families of the earth because he suffered alone the cost for transgressions of people from everywhere. And finally, Matthew identified Jesus as the Christ. Christ is the Greek form of the Hebrew idea of the Messiah, HaMashiach in Hebrew. So Messiah means the anointed one for a special mission. The Old Testament tells us of the anointment of the prophets, kings, and priests. And Jesus Christ is the anointed one to be prophet, priest, and king. All these three offices from the Old Testament. Jesus, as prophet, revealed the will of God and taught the truths of the kingdom of heaven with authority and wisdom. As priest, he effectively interceded for those whom the Father had given to him and offered a perfect offering for their sins. He did this as priest. And as king, he protects, he provides for, and perfects his church. So this is our Savior. This is our hope, Jesus Christ. Second, he is Jesus Christ. Who is this? Was the first question. The answer, he is Jesus Christ. In the text I just mentioned, Matthew 21, which describes the moment when Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem, when people cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," as the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" The answer by the multitude was, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Matthew 21:11. The name Jesus emphasizes his humanity as the son of David and son of Abraham. Jesus Christ descended from them concerning his flesh and blood, and this list proves that. Jesus is the translation of the name Yeshua or Joshua. That means Yahweh saves. The Lord saves. That's why the angel told Joseph in a dream about Mary, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:21. The genealogy is all about the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The Jews shouldn't be proud that they are heirs of Abraham in the flesh. If they glory their salvation in Abraham, it is even sinful thing. Nobody should glory in someone else for his salvation except in Christ. We cannot say that salvation is exclusive for Jews because the Bible tells us this. God so loved the world. We cannot say that salvation is only for Jewish people. It's not only for the descendants from where Jesus came. No, but salvation is for people from everywhere, from the beloved ones of God, the Almighty. He loved people from everywhere, from all parts of the world, those who believe. So God so loved the world that He gave His own begotten Son so that those who believe in Him should not perish, shall not perish, but have eternal life, as the Bible tells us. The genealogy of Jesus Christ is divided in three groups of people listed from Abraham to David, and from David to the exile, and from the exile to Christ. The two breaking points are King David, and he is purposefully called King to emphasize the kingship of Jesus Christ, Matthew 1:6. And the second breaking point here is the exile in Babylon, Matthew 1:2. It happened in 587 before Christ, the captivity. After captivity, no successor to David sat on the throne. Matthew shows Christ as the one who would take back the royal duties. Christ is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 11:1 that says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." From the stump that remained after the trunk was cut, meaning the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar in 587 BC, a shoot sprouted, the Bible is telling us. The exile left only the stump, but now the Son of David came out of that stump as the promised king. This is Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ. And also, four women were mentioned, which is intriguing. Tamar, verse 3, Rahab, verse 5, Ruth, verse 5, and Bathsheba, the woman of Uriah, in verse 6. Usually, women are not mentioned in genealogies, and if they were to be mentioned, one would expect Sarah, or Rachel, Rebecca, or Leah. So why did Matthew mention them here? The answer is that Matthew wanted to give more information than a simple list of names could. He was only talking about ancestors. He was talking about a list of fallen ancestors. The main point here is that Jesus came from a fallen mankind whose offspring includes many evil people. For instance, consider those women quoted in this genealogy. Tamar pretended to be a prostitute and had illicit relationship with her father-in-law, Judah. This is in Genesis 38. Rahab hid the spies and joined the Israelites, but she was a pagan prostitute. Joshua 2, verse 5. Ruth was from Moab, an enemy nation of God's people, and she was perpetually banished from the temple. Bathsheba was Jewish, but she could be considered Hittite because she was married to Uriah, a Hittite as well. And she entered the Messianic lineage after committing adultery with David, the king. Also consider many of those men included in the genealogy. Rehoboam oppressed his own people. Jehoram killed his own brothers and married Ahab's daughter, a copy of Jezebel. Manasseh burnt some of his own children to Moloch and ordained that Isaiah would be sold in two according to the tradition. Ahaz preferred to trust in the king of Assyria than in God. However, Don't think that those who did what was right in the sight of the Lord had any merits. Abraham provided himself with a descendant by having a son with Hagar, Sarah's maidservant, and lied in Egypt about his wife. And Judah didn't provide Tamar with a husband as he should have done, and had sexual relations with her when she pretended to be a prostitute. And from this sinful union, Perez was born, and he is included in the lineage of Jesus Christ. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Solomon perverted his heart after marrying 700 women. And Uzziah unfaithfully entered the sanctuary to minister as a priest, just to mention some of them. So even those men who made what was right, they were sinners as well. And they did many bad things. Thus, all these men were in need for a Savior. They were in need for Jesus. That's why the angel told Joseph that the boy would be called Jesus, salvation, because he would save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. Or is there salvation in any other? For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So trust in Jesus. Trust in Him. Have faith in Him alone. Because Jesus alone saves. And third, He is mighty to save. Verse 17. There is one more important information about Matthew's genealogy of Jesus Christ. The evangelist left some names out. For example, between Joram and Uzziah, verse 8, the Old Testament mentions Ahaziah, Joash, and Amaziah. 2 Chronicles 8:24, 1 Chronicles 3:11. You can find these names in other passages in the Bible. There are other omissions, but it is not a problem at all. The Greek verb genao can be translated either as begotten, or it can be translated as well as was ancestor of, or was progenitor of. But what about the number 14? Jewish readers to whom the book was originally intended, they were able to understand that a number was associated to a type of the alphabet, a letter of the alphabet in Hebrew. Thus, David, the name David, has three letters in Hebrew. A daleth, a vav, and again, a daleth. Daleth means four. And vav means six. So we have six plus four plus four. We have 14. So the value of David's name is 14. This is not by chance. Matthew was so careful selecting those names. That's why he left a couple of names out of the list, because he was focusing on David, the king of Israel, showing that Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's why he used this 14 is an important number here. Jesus is the promised son of David. And the third section of 14 generations came with a name repeated from the previous one, namely Jeconiah or Joachim. The reason is that the first Jeconiah was deposed. And the Jeconiah of the third list of 14 was restored. He was honored, received a lifetime pension, began to eat with the king of Babylon after that restoration, he had children, continuing the messianic royal descent. In short, the reason for the appearance of Jeconiah's name twice is that the first time, it was the deposed Jeconiah. The second was the Jeconiah restored to the throne. There is another thing, brothers and sisters, concerning the number 14. It is a doubled seven. Seven is the number of perfection or plenty. Thus, if we have three 14s, we have six sevens. Are you with me? So we have six sevens. The sequence cannot be perfect with six sevens. We need seven sevens so that the sequence can be perfect. So the sequence cannot be perfect with six sevens unless the chosen one, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the true man, true God, would come to fulfill the seventh seventh by his birth. With Jesus Christ, the series of six sevens find its plenty. With the perfect God-man, Jesus Christ, we have an entire perfect series, seven of seven. Matthew carefully chose this representation of Jesus' genealogy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, because he was paving the way for his readers to believe that Jesus Christ is mighty to save. No one before him was able to atone for the sins of the people of God. Jesus alone satisfied God's judicial requirements with a perfect atonement. Jesus Christ is mighty to save. This genealogy reminds us that God keeps his word always. He promised the branch, the descendant of the woman, who would crush the serpent's head, and he did it. Numbers 23:19 says that God is not a man that he should lie. So Jesus Christ fulfilled God's purposes faithfully according to the prophecies in the Old Testament, for he is mighty to save. This genealogy is important to show that the entire human race is corrupted since Adam. The list has godly people: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, but also many ungodly people: Joram, Rehoboam, Amon, Ahaz, Manasseh. Even those of good reputation have bad stories to tell. That's why Jesus alone is mighty to save his people from their sins. So, brothers and sisters, see how great is the mercy and grace of God. Christ became one of us out of love. The Bible tells us, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. As Ruth was naturally prevented from entering the sanctuary because she was a Moabite, we also were prevented from entering the sanctuary, prevented from having a relationship with God for being sinners. Remember, Adam and Eve, they were perpetually banished from the Garden of Eden. However, the grace of the Lord was greater than Ruth's sin. It was greater than Ruth's nationality or enmity against God's people. She received the privilege not only of being counted among God's people, but she was also included in the messianic offspring. And similarly, brothers and sisters, the grace of the Lord reached us and was far greater than our sin. Revelation 2:7 tells us that in Christ, we have access to the tree of life that is in the midst of the paradise of God. Adam and Eve were cast out of the paradise, but we, reconciled to Jesus Christ, will have access to this paradise of God. Deserving being banished forever from God's presence, we were accepted into God's people, and we were made heirs of a wonderful inheritance together with Christ. So let's give thanks to the Lord. Let's celebrate Christmas with this in mind. Let's follow the good examples of those who feared God and obeyed him. However, if your life is like those who are far from God, repent and believe. Ask the Lord to forgive you. He is kind and merciful. He is rich in forgiving. And finally, never trust any creature. Trust in Jesus Christ, for He alone is the Son of David, whose throne is forever. In Him, all families of the earth can be blessed. Jesus Christ alone is mighty to save. To Him be the glory forever. Amen.